This is the Sandwiched Generation.
Good morning, I'm Tina McIntosh, president of Joy's House Adult Day Service, and I'm glad you're here with us on the Sandwich Generation. This morning, I'm talking with Michelle Coley, who is an audiologist with Balance MD. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
I was trying to practice. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here, and you're going to help us understand the world of hearing loss and hearing aids.
Correct.
If I asked you what hearing loss is, what would you say?
I would say it is a difficulty in communication due to not understanding the sounds of speech.
Well, that's actually really good. I thought you were going to look at me and say, you know, it's a
it's
loss of hearing.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was anything more to it. Just thought I'd ask. And caregivers, because this show is obviously to support and educate the caregivers in our lives. Uh-huh. And caregivers have, they have a place with hearing loss.
Most definitely. Hearing loss is not only a problem for the individual with the hearing loss, but it also can create stress on relationships with those that are close to that individual, just because communication can become very difficult, and it can cause isolation of the patient to other loved ones, social problems. It can lead to...
There's frustration.
Depression. Yeah, lots of frustration and depression. They just feel isolated, not included in conversations. And there are definitely strategies to help pull hearing impaired individuals into conversations to help them feel more confident with what they are hearing and then participating in conversation and responses.
Well, it's got to be a tough world to live in when you realize, if you're the individual who has that hearing loss, to realize that you're losing that form of communication.
Right. I mean, we live in a world where sound is super important. It's entertainment, it's communication and feelings with loved ones. It's your life, and losing hearing and slowly being isolated from the hearing world is a difficult thing to overcome.
Yeah. So if you are a caregiver, make sure to include your loved one and make sure that you're trying not to be as frustrated, that you're understanding that that might be the issue.
Right.
And pulling them in, because isolation, easy for me to say this morning, isolation and depression, particularly as we look at ourselves as we're getting older, is a pretty scary thing.
Yes, it is. And no one wants to be alone.
No.
Or feel alone.
No. And I know in January of this year, there was a release on USA Today, and they were talking about how isolation and depression, when combined with hearing loss, they don't know if they go hand in hand physically to cause dementia, or if it's some of the other, you know, the combination of those two and the stress on the brain and things that are causing the dementia. But there is some kind of a relation between the two.
That's correct. I mean, listening and hearing is a mentally straining activity. If you have hearing impairment, it should be easy. Hearing should be easy, just like seeing. And when it becomes a strain, then there's a lot of mental energy that is wasted. A lot of hearing impaired patients feel extremely fatigued after going to a group activity where they're really trying to pay attention and fit into conversation and respond appropriately. It's exhausting. It's physically and mentally exhausting for them to participate in group activities. And it shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah, so it would almost seem easier to stay home.
Right.
But don't.
Right. You don't want to let your loved one do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, as far as if it's me and my husband, and I think he's got some kind of hearing loss, which, honey, if you're listening, I do, but we're addressing that. We might have to come see you.
Yes.
You know, I really need to be careful not to get frustrated with him because the TV's up loud or I think he's ignoring me. I mean, it can also be a real stress on our relationship.
Correct.
If we don't get to the bottom of that.
Correct. And there are definitely strategies that can be used to communicate with those with hearing impairment, like getting their attention before you address them, calling their name first, making sure that they have eye contact with you. Most patients, as they start to lose hearing, start to adapt. They may not realize that they're losing hearing because it doesn't typically happen overnight. It's usually a very gradual process. So, you know, by getting their attention, making them look at you before they talk to you, they start to read lips. They start to use other body language cues to help hear. And that's why it's very important to address a patient before speaking to them and make sure that you have eye contact with them before speaking. Also, for patients that are hearing impaired, speaking louder does not necessarily make them hear you better. When there's damage to the inner hair cells of the inner ear that help you hear, making a sound louder doesn't make it clearer. It just makes it louder and more distorted. So
if you're listening, if you're listening to the show and you just kind of lowered your head a little bit in shame when Michelle spoke those words, you know she's talking to you, because we've all done that.
Yes, yes. You assume that if you speak up that they'll be able to hear you better, and that's not necessarily the case.
But if they have hearing aids and I speak up, it can almost cloud their hearing, right?
Correct, because the hearing aid will start to distort the signal once it gets too loud.
Yeah,
you won't hear a clear speech signal anymore either. So really screaming at someone with hearing aids is a horrible idea.
For so many reasons. Don't do that. And what's that little, I remember when my husband's grandfather, Papa Leo, was alive, we'd be sitting in church and we'd say, oh, Papa's fax is going off. We'd hear that little
squeak,
like,
the feedback.
Yeah, what is that?
That is feedback from a microphone. I mean, just like if you're speaking in a microphone and you get too close and the speakers squeal, it's the same thing. I mean, a hearing aid is a microphone with an amplifier, and if you get too close to the microphone, it will feedback. So any more hearing aids should not do that.
Okay.
Hearing aids, if they do, then you need to go back to the audiologist that fit your hearing aids, and they should be able to make adjustments. No hearing aid should squeal nowadays. There's too much technology out there available.
So I'm being serious when I say if your fax machine is going off,
right,
you need to go
see back.
Michelle or your audiologist and get
that
fixed.
That's correct.
How can people get a hold of you?
Yes, our number is 888-888-DIZZY, and that will get you in touch with the audiologist, myself at BalanceMD at the Indianapolis office, or with Sandy, the audiologist at the Lafayette location.
And what is a first appointment like? Because a lot of times we're intimidated to come in.
Sure. First appointment is typically a hearing test first to actually determine amount of loss that is there. And then we can talk about different technologies available, the finances involved, how to pay for devices and things like that. So it's very relaxed. It's not a stressful environment. It's very relaxed, and we want to make the patient comfortable about moving forward with amplification.
So don't be intimidated to come in.
Most definitely not.
Michelle is lovely. The folks at BalanceMD are lovely. They will take really good care of you. Last thing before we have to close, is it better if I have to get a hearing aid, the most expensive ones are the best?
Not necessarily. It depends on the person. So, I mean, hearing aids range from $800 or $900 a piece up to $3,000 a piece. And it really depends on the individual and the environments that they're in during the day to what's the most appropriate. And for most individuals, the Cadillac is not necessary.
Okay, so it's customized for me.
Correct.
Michelle, thanks for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Remember that you can always email me at tina@thesandwichgeneration.com. with input for the show, and I hope you'll stay with us this morning, because we've got more of The Sandwich Generation coming up next.